is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
I'm Nina Amir, the Inspiration to Creation Coach. Welcome to the Inspiration to Creation Show. With each and every show, it's my intention to elevate your consciousness by reminding you of who you are, a spiritual being having a physical experience and a powerful creator. And it's my goal to inspire you to rethink your limiting beliefs, rise to your potential, and live a human life that feeds your soul. Ready to get inspired, to get to create something amazing? Let's get going. Today I'd like to talk about living a life that feeds your soul. What does that mean? How do you do it? And what happens when you live a life of soul alignment? You're bombarded daily with information about feeding and caring for your body. Of course, that's essential, right? But it's not enough. You also need to feed and care for your soul. And the reason for that is simple. You're a spiritual being having a physical experience. And you have to feed both body and soul to thrive. If you don't care for both aspects of your being, you could wind up with an amazingly healthy and strong physical body, but feel like you're sick and dying inside. You could lack passion, enthusiasm, inspiration, motivation, joy, love, and creativity, the spice of life, right? All of which are byproducts of a healthy spiritual body. Low levels of any of the emotions that I just mentioned offer signs of a malnourished and hungry soul. And you can't thrive unless your spiritual nature is strong and healthy. So let me qualify all that I've just said by stating that you can't really starve your soul to death. It's eternal. But you're going to feel the effects of not caring for your soul. And the average human is oblivious to the soul's needs and the negative impact of a lack of soul care. They may not even understand soul or soul care or have a conscious connection with their soul. Now, if you're aware and understand, that's wonderful. And I'm so glad. And with that level of consciousness, you may already live a life that feeds your soul and be doing a great job of caring for your soul. But most people don't think about their soul or living in alignment with the spiritual part of them. If you're like them, you may be so caught up in the human experience, you forget that you're also a spiritual being having a physical experience. And if that's the case, you're going to find it challenging to live a life that feeds your soul. But that's what you and I are here to do, to express and live in alignment with our spiritual nature. So maybe the best way to understand the concept of feeding your soul or not feeding your soul is for me to tell you about my experience. I am at fault of starving my soul. For 15 years, I would say I simply forgot to feed it. From the outside, I looked successful, at least by other people's standards. I'd landed 3 traditional publishing deals, self-published 18 ebooks, and almost all of my books had become Amazon bestsellers. I'd spoken on numerous stages, sometimes sharing the mic with leading industry experts, and I was considered a thought leader and had a sizable following on social networks. Plus, I was coaching people, both as an author coach and a certified high-performance coach, and I was selling a variety of courses and programs. Despite all the facts, not only did the way I lived fail to nourish my soul, but I felt it really felt as if it was sucking the soul right out of my body, leaving this deep void within. Now, I know that's not possible, but that's how it felt. One day, I was having lunch with a friend who had known me since I began my journey to authorship, and she knew I'd wanted to write books about spiritual and personal growth. And about halfway through the meal, she looked at me and said, "What happened to Nina? Nina, I used to know. Where did she go? Well, let me tell you, I put my fork down and I stared at her. I wasn't hungry anymore, and my heart lay like a stone in my stomach, and tears fell on my napkin. She was right, and I knew it. That Nina was gone, like long gone. Not only had I lost myself, forgotten my dream, given away my power, and gotten off purpose, my marriage was failing. My books weren't selling, and a new book contract seemed an impossibility. I was 20 pounds overweight, struggling with an autoimmune disease and other physical issues. I felt disconnected from one of my children, both my sisters, my spiritual community, and the divine creator. I couldn't figure out how to find my way back to my authentic self, to align with my calling, to connect with my spiritual side, my soul, or to turn my career towards my life's work. And I was filled with a profound sadness and inability to enjoy my life or success, especially because of the fact that I had no spiritual connection any longer, or so it seemed. A few years later, yes, it took me that long, a few years, when I turned 60, I decided something had to change. I didn't want to spend the next 20 or more years, if I'm lucky, of my life living in the way I had before. And so I began making little changes, kind of trim tabbing, to get back on course. By working on myself, focusing on my personal growth, I began to become aware of what I do as a human being that prevents me from also being in contact with my soul, my spiritual being. I became conscious of all my mental, emotional, and physical habits that prevented me from moving forward easily, happily, successfully in all areas of my life. I had a really big aha moment when I realized my personal and spiritual growth were integrally tied together. When I worked on myself, I increased my ability to feel connected to Creator and guided by my soul and my inner knowing. And when I focused on my spirituality, I made huge strides towards self-realization. But only if I took actions that led to both personal and spiritual growth could I realize my potential and create the life I was meant to live. I have to admit, change hasn't come quickly or easily, but little by little, I'm making changes. And each shift is meant to feed my soul what it needs to thrive. And as I implement these changes, I feel my soul healing and growing stronger and beginning to guide my life again. Or maybe I'm just listening more carefully now. So as a result of that, I'm happier. My marriage and health are better. I have better relationships with my family. My feet are more firmly planted on a clear path, and that emptiness I felt is dissipating. My life feels more meaningful, purposeful, spiritual, and I've begun to create a life that really does feed my soul. And yes, it's still a work in progress. Now, your soul is an essential element of who you are. And whether you call it soul, you know, higher self, spiritual guidance, gut reaction, intuition, doesn't really matter. Your soul is an essential element of who you are. And you have to care for it just as you do your body, even more so. Yes, you need your healthy body to live fully. But the soul is a divine spark within. It's your connection to divine mind or creator. It's a particle of divine mind or creator. And your soul existed before your human incarnation, before your body, and it's going to live afterward. Your soul chose to be born into this physical body that you have now, and that body is just, you know, it simply houses the soul for this lifetime. Now, as I said, you could argue that the soul needs nothing to thrive. You don't have to feed it anything. After all, it's part of the Creator and it's eternal. But I would argue that if your soul is not well fed, you'll look and even feel good on the outside, but on the inside, you're going to suffer from spiritual malnutrition and you will feel empty. So just think about it for a minute. How have you felt inside when you aren't doing things you love or too busy to just be for even a few moments? Never go out in nature or surrounded by angry people, aren't growing or doing anything fun or different and feel stuck in obligations and shoulds and other people's expectations of you. How do you feel? Just take a moment and think about it. Any of those situations, if you've experienced them, how do you end up feeling? Did you experience a deep feeling of unhappiness and discontent and restlessness? Was it hard to focus? Did you start to have some aches and ailments? Where did you feel happy, content, fulfilled, peaceful, strong, connected, energized, inspired, and motivated? What's the difference in how you would feel? How you're caring for your soul. In the first case, you're not caring for your soul. But if you're caring for your soul, you're going to feel happy, content, fulfilled, peaceful, strong, connected, energized, inspired, and motivated. So all of this conversation about feeding your soul kind of begs the question, what is the soul? And like my last show, I think it's really important to explore the meaning of words so we're all on the same page. And spiritual growth is intricately tied to understanding the word soul. The same is true, you know, for this episode of my show, like the last. Since we're talking about feeding the soul, we should understand the word soul. But each person may have a different definition of this really essential element, especially since each religion and spiritual tradition offers different meanings for the word. So let's get some clarity on what the soul, what the word means to you without any outside influence, okay? Because we are influenced outside, you know, from like religion. But what does soul mean? But once you've defined soul for yourself, you can more easily become conscious of and connect with your soul and live in alignment with it. Now, my general understanding is that the soul is a human's immaterial, immortal essence. It enters a body by choice at conception. The spiritual element decides on a lesson to learn and a purpose to achieve during its incarnated lifetime. When you transition from the physical back to being, you know, a spiritual being at death, your soul leaves its temporary physical home and then it reincarnates again. Now, the term soul and spirit are often used synonymously, but whether or not they mean the same thing is debatable. To understand these two terms, I think it's important that we look at both of them. Let's start with some standard definitions. Let's start with the word spirit. The word spirit lies at the root of the word spiritual, as well as the word spirituality. And the dictionary tells us that spirit is, first, the principle of conscious life, the vital principle in humans that's animating the body or mediating between body and soul. The soul is regarded as separate from the body at death. Now let's look at the standard definition of soul. And notice that in this definition of spirit, we had the word soul, right? It's mediating between body and soul, but it's different than soul, right? But when we look at the definition of soul, there's a little bit of confusion. So the first definition is the principle of life, feeling, thought, and action in humans regarded as a distinct entity separate from the body and commonly held to be separable in existence from the body. The spiritual part of humans is distinct from the physical part. The second definition is the spiritual part of humans regarded in its moral aspect or believed to survive death and be subject to happiness or misery in a life to come. So that's like karma, right, and reincarnation. Third definition is the disembodied spirit of a deceased person. So is that different from soul? The fourth definition of soul is the emotional part of human nature, the seat of feelings or sentiments. Fifth is a human being, a person. So now the soul is equated to being a human. And the sixth definition is the animating principle, the essential element or part of something. Okay, so if you're confused now, I'm not surprised. Okay, I have to go back over these terms repeatedly, and the definition of soul includes spirit in most dictionaries, right? But the traditional definitions do make it clear that spirit and soul are separate from but vital to the physical body. And while neither the spirit or the soul represent the physical part of the human being, even though that last definition said that, we're going to disregard that, they're both the thing that animates the body. So I would go as far to say the soul constitutes the essential aspect of being human. And my lifelong teacher and friend, Gary Bunnell, says we're threefold beings, soul, spirit, and body. He says the body is a collaborative mind of instinctual intelligence with genetic or ancestral memory. And that exists in union with the human spirit, which is a strategic and intuitive intelligence that's lived in all forms of life on Earth. All of that, the body and the human spirit are guided by the eternal constant soul, a particle of Creator's consciousness. So he whittles it down to that. The soul is a particle of Creator's consciousness. So I'm not sure that any of those definitions really help. You know, I'm constantly asking Gary to explain all of this to me, but he says the spirit is what dies, the soul lives on eternally. And so that brings us back to the question, are the words spirit and soul interchangeable? I suppose they could be. Some of the traditional definitions do, you know, put them together, but I don't think that would be 100% correct. Again, you have to decide what soul means to you or for you, and maybe that is based on your religious background. But at least now we have some definitions to work with to helpfully create a better understanding or options for you to draw from. Now, it said we were talking about how to care for your soul, right? So to care for your soul, just like you care for your body and your physical life, you have to raise your level of consciousness first. And that typically requires some sort of personal growth. As you may have gleaned from my story, personal growth makes you aware of what is stopping you from having more awareness of your true nature. It makes you aware of your patterns and habits of mind and emotion and body. Then you become more able to choose how to respond to life. You learn to opt out of reactive patterns, to listen to your intuition, which is your soul talking to you, to choose what you truly want in life. In fact, the more aware you are of your humanness, your human behaviors, mindsets, etc., the more you become aware of your soul and its desires. For example, you'll notice your intuition, your soul talking to you more consistently and easily. And with that awareness, you can make decisions and take actions that express your spiritual nature, that feed your soul. The higher your level of consciousness, the more able you are to focus on soul care. That's when you move into the realm of spiritual growth, which leads you to an ever greater awareness of your soul and soul's calling so you can live a soul-aligned life. It also makes you more aware of your humanness, of how you are behaving as a human. Now, humans develop beliefs not only, you know, based on what they've been taught, for instance, by their religions or teachers or parents, but also based on experiences. Unfortunately, these beliefs or interpretations of what has happened to us lead us to believe we're not in relationship with anything spiritual. Typically, that's what happens. And that makes it much harder to experience the soul or to hear and act upon its guidance. And that's where personal growth comes into play, because as you remove mental and emotional obstacles to experiencing your soul, you increase the likelihood of experiencing that spiritual element and sensing the soul's messages. That's when you become conscious enough to align who you are and what you do with your soul. So personal growth work removes blocks to the awareness of your soul. You become more conscious, and your increased consciousness leads you to proportionally increased soul awareness. And that spiritual ascent makes it possible for you to live a soul-aligned life. Which brings us back around to our topic. How do you care for your soul? When you're conscious enough to live a soul-aligned life, you care for your soul in the best possible ways you can, right? But so how do we do that? I can think of many, many ways to care for and feed your soul. I'm going to give you 20 today, so you might want to get out pen and paper and write them down. Most of us don't spend a lot of time thinking about how we care for our souls. If you're spiritual or even religious, you might know that observing the Sabbath, for instance, or praying or meditating does the soul good, right? But when you aren't involved in spiritual practices, you may fail to consider how you care for or feed your soul. So again, how do we do that? How do we care for and feed for your soul? How do you keep it healthy, vibrant, and happy? So let's go through these 20 strategies that you can actually employ to help you care for and feed your soul. The first one is to get quiet. Get quiet. Stop talking. Turn off the music, the television, the podcast, the audiobook or video, and allow yourself to experience quiet. In that quietude, you can listen instead of talk. You can listen to your soul, and your soul is going to speak to you. That still small voice we hear about, right? It's going to speak to you, and you'll be able to hear because you're quiet, and it's quiet around you. If it's not quiet around you, it can be very hard to hear the soul speaking to you. The second strategy is exactly the opposite of the first, and that is to talk. And by that, I mean have a conversation with your soul. Or talk to Source, Creator, God, whatever you call divinity. You can pray. Prayer is talking to God. Meditation I would put in with being quiet, with the first strategy, because meditating is listening. Prayer is talking. So when you're talking to your soul, or Creator, speak as if you're bearing your soul to the one person you trust totally and who can offer support. And then you need to get quiet and listen. Third strategy is to inspire yourself. By that I mean read books, have engaging conversations, listen to music, watch videos of motivational speakers, do something that inspires you, right? Something that stretches you a little bit and makes you inspired. So yesterday I happened to have time with my friend and teacher Gary, and that inspired, that created conversations with my husband and I that were very inspiring. And when you feel inspired, you're in spirit. We talked about that in my first solo episode. What does it mean to be inspired? Well, it's you're related, you're connected to spirit, or in this case, I would really say soul. Okay, but when you feel inspired, that is your soul saying, yes, 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 this tastes good. This makes me feel good. And you're going to feel good as a result. The fourth strategy is to journal. Take time to write your thoughts in a journal. Even better, ask your soul to speak to you, and then let your pen fill the pages with everything your soul says. So some would call this automatic writing or channeled writing. I like to call it guided writing, being guided by my soul. And I ask questions, and then I let the pen fly, or actually I do it on my computer because I can't read my handwriting and I don't write very quickly. Okay, so you could try that, journaling. The fifth strategy is to say no. Say no to the things that don't make you happy, excited, fulfilled, peaceful, or inspired. Whenever you say yes to something you don't want to do or be, you starve your soul a little bit, and you fill your time with responsibilities and activities that don't care for or feed your soul. So, you know, really think about what's important to you, and those are the things to say yes to. But if they're not important to you, if they don't make you feel good, if they make you frustrated, feel like a should, these are things to say no to because they're not feeding your soul. So as you can imagine, strategy number six is to say yes. Say yes to the things that make you happy, excited, fulfilled, peaceful, or inspired. Every time you say yes to something you want to do or be, you feed your soul, and you take time to address its desires and needs while you achieve your purpose, your soul purpose. So say yes to those things that make you feel great and that inspire you and motivate you. That's your soul saying, that's what I want to eat. That's caring for me. Number seven is to commune with nature. Sorry, I'm going to take a little sip of water. Okay, commune with nature. Number seven, spend time outside the concrete jungle, your cubicle, the walls of your home. Spend time in nature. Hug a tree, plant a garden, sit by a lake or a river, swim in the ocean, admire the flowers, watch the wind ruffle the leaves, allow yourself and your soul to experience Mother Nature. Get grounded, take your shoes off, put your feet in the grass or in the sand or whatever. It's amazing how different you feel when you're out in nature and you allow yourself to really appreciate it. After all, everything is energy. When you put yourself out there in nature, you are being one with that energy. Number eight is to surround yourself with art. And by that, I mean play music that makes your soul sing. Look at paintings or photographs or even beautifully filmed movies that touch your heart and soul so deeply that tears come to your eyes. Or make art of any kind. Compose a poem, play a song on the piano or guitar, write a book, paint a picture. All of these activities connect you with your soul and allow it to express. creative expression is a human drive, and human drives are another way that the soul expresses itself and speaks to you. Number 9 is to practice gratitude. When you practice gratitude daily, you provide your soul with the prescription it needs to thrive. It knows there is plenty. It's part of the abundance of the universe. And when you feel grateful, you're acknowledging your soul and you're acknowledging those things, that there is plenty, that you are enough, that you are part of the universe. Plus, gratitude has one of the highest vibrations that a human can express. And we want to move ourselves up the vibrational scale because that's how we allow ourselves to create. We can't create if we are in a low vibration like anger or resentment, right? So even if you can just get to neutrality, you begin to open yourself to be able to create what it is you desire. But gratitude also makes you feel good. And when you feel good, you're feeding your soul. All right, number 10, almost halfway there. Number 10, think positively. Complaining, judging, jealousy, and focusing on scarcity and other negative things are poison to your soul. Change your thoughts to one of appreciation, acceptance, abundance, hope. Say affirmations. Look for the silver lining. Be a Pollyanna. Positivity aligns you with your soul. The more positive you are, the better you feel, the more open you are to receive everything from your soul's guidance to your heart's desire. Okay, number 11, take time to let your mind wander. While visualization is an intentional focus on what you desire, daydreaming is a chance for your soul to show you what it wants for you. So many of us are so focused on manifestation and visualizing what we want that we don't stop to ask what our soul wants for us. What is in our highest good? Right? But when you daydream, your soul sends you pictures and messages about what is for your highest good. And so daydreaming is an enormously productive way to spend your time. Number 12 is to just be. Do nothing. You are not a human doing. You've probably heard this before. You are not a human doing. You are a human being. In fact, you're a spiritual being in a physical body. So be that. Be that spiritual being. Allow yourself time to not do. Think about your life. How much of it is spent doing things? Doing, doing, doing. The laundry, walking the dog, taking the kids to school, doing your work, fulfilling obligations and commitments, washing your floor, washing your hair, you know, making phone calls. It's all doing. Stop doing for a little while. Stop doing and be still. Like the quiet. You can combine number 12 with number 1. Just be quiet. Be still. That's the height of consciousness, is stillness. That feeds your soul. All right, number 13, pay attention. You need to become highly conscious of what makes you feel good, what draws your attention, and what you feel pulled to do or pulled toward, because those are the things your soul desires. And if you aren't feeling good, are distracted, or feel obligated to do something, your soul is asking you loudly and clearly to make a different decision. So pay attention. The soul sends you signs. The soul speaks to you. Remember, the soul, as far as, you know, if I'm going to go with my friend Gary's definition, the soul is a particle of the divine mind. So it's constantly, so inside you, you have everything you need to know. And you need to just pay attention to what the soul is telling you, what it's showing you. That requires paying attention, and that means getting still, being quiet, listening, right? Okay, number 14 is to be happy. Despite your conditions, it's possible to be happy. Happiness is a choice. So no matter your situation, choose to be joyful. Give yourself permission to be happy. Happiness, again, is a high vibration. Joy is a high vibration. And when you're happy, you know that you are communing with your soul. The 15th strategy for feeding your soul and caring for it is to remember who you are. Every moment of every day, remember that you are a spiritual being having a human experience. And if you do that, you're going to be aware of your soul always talking to you. You'll know how to care for it best and what to feed it consistently so it thrives. And when it thrives, so do you. Right? And what I often say about personal and spiritual growth, like if you were doing transformational coaching or something like that, is that it's so much about choosing your identity, right? So we can choose to be someone who receives guidance. We can be someone who is spiritually connected. We can be someone who feeds their soul. We can choose to have that identity, right? We can be someone who lets it be easy, or we can be someone who's disconnected from source. We can be someone who always has, you know, is in drama. We can be someone who feels challenged. We can be someone who doesn't know. These are choices about our identity. But every time you choose an identity that is closer to who you want to be, who you know you can be, who your soul is asking you to be because it's who you truly are, that is the process of becoming who you are, remembering who you are and moving closer to being that, someone who is realizing their potential here as a human being. Right? And so it's very important to remember that. Number 16 is to conduct rituals. Create or conduct rituals of any type from any spiritual tradition that you can, like candles, burn incense, begin a morning routine, smudge, drum, set intentions. It doesn't really matter. Your soul is going to join you and grow stronger in your awareness with every ritual you perform. And it'll be easier to get in contact with your soul when you do rituals because it's going to create a little vortex where every time you go into that kind of ritual, you'll feel your soul more strongly. Number 17 is to develop the courage to live a life true to yourself. Stop making decisions about how to live based on other people's expectations or judgments. And instead of doing what everybody else thinks you should do, do what you know you are meant to want to and feel is on purpose and feel guided to do. Do the things that are in soul alignment. Okay? So that is living a life true to yourself and true to your soul. Right? And number 18 is to find a balance between work and play. Very hard to feed and care for your soul when you have no balance between work and play. It really is difficult. Most people regret that they spend the majority of their lives working. If you have a career that involves doing your life's work, your work probably feels more like play. Doing meaningful and purposeful work provides a fabulous diet for your soul. But if your work feels meaningless and your career is busy work rather than your life's work, or if you enjoy what you do but spend most of your time in the office, your life becomes unbalanced. That's why we're always talking about work-life balance, right? So in this case, the diet has to include time spent with friends and family and nature, caring for your body temple, participating in hobbies, connecting with source and soul. You need to devote sacred time to the things your soul enjoys in addition to your work. Again, hopefully your work is your life's work. But even if it's your life work and you're spending all your time doing that, you don't have balance. And so that's when you need to bring in those things like connecting with family and friends and being in nature, exercising, which is taking care of the body, your body temple, the hobbies, et cetera, because that's when you're going to feel the difference. You know, and I've been at fault of no balance. There were many, many years when I wasn't feeding my soul or caring for it because I worked all the time. My husband was working all the time, and I felt I needed to do the same. And yet that's not what I want to do, and it's not what my soul wants for me. I want to find this balance. Strategy number 19 is to express your feelings. The soul is fed by expressions of positive emotions like love and joy and gratitude and passion. But that doesn't mean you can't express sadness or anger or other negative emotions. You need to express those too, because otherwise you just stuff on them and they're going to come out sideways. You've heard that before. You also just don't want to get stuck in them. So you don't want to be you know, stuck in a negative emotion for very long. But humans are emotional beings, and often the soul guides us with deep emotions. So pay attention to what you feel and express your emotions. And I know a lot of people are afraid to do that. They feel too vulnerable. They're afraid if they express their emotions, people won't like them or will reject them. But you're going to feel so much better when you express your emotions, because that is also coming from a soul level. And number 20, the 20th strategy for feeding and caring for your soul is to consistently pursue your personal and spiritual growth. Some say the only purpose we as humans have is achieving our potential. Others say that that our purpose is to become our authentic selves, to remember who we really are and express that. But to do that, you have to consistently participate in anything and everything that helps your personal and spiritual growth. Because our lives, by the age of 5, we've already been programmed in so many ways in terms of our behavior and our thoughts and our beliefs. And as life goes on, as I said, we have experiences, and though we interpret those experiences and we develop new beliefs and new mindsets and habits, not all of which serve us. In fact, most of them don't serve us. And so you have to consistently participate in personal and spiritual growth so that you have a higher level of consciousness, awareness of your mindsets and habits and how they serve you or hinder your progress. If you're on a spiritual path, the only thing that stops you from connecting to Source and your higher self, soul, is you. That means that to further your spiritual growth, well, let me backtrack. When I say that the only thing in the way of you connecting to your soul is you, what I mean is it's your mindset and your habits. If you never get quiet, it's hard to hear your soul. If you are negative, it's hard to do the things your soul is asking you to do. If you believe you have to guard your heart, that's not feeding your soul. So to further your spiritual growth, you need to focus on personal growth, because your beliefs and habits stop you from leading a more spiritual life. And on the other hand, to progress your personal growth, you have to also address your spiritual growth, because again, you are a spiritual being having a human experience, a physical experience. So you won't achieve your human potential if you don't also achieve your spiritual potential. So we have to be working on both all the time. Now, I spent a lot of years taking lousy care of my soul, as I told you. I did not feed it well. It's no wonder I felt empty inside. My soul was starving, and as a result, I was starving for a soulful connection to my true self. That's not a situation that I can fix overnight. It takes time. And so every day, I ask my soul what it needs. And my decisions are based on the answers I receive. It's not always easy. Sometimes the choices may seem counterintuitive. You know, or I'm sure that if I make that choice, I follow my soul's guidance, that I'm going to be judged, or that, I'm going to be ostracized in some way. But I choose to care for and feed my soul no matter what these days. That's what I do. I don't choose to do anything that feels like it's not feeding my soul. Now, if I continue on this path consistently, I'm sure my life will continue to change. It's going to become soulful, right? Full of soul. Now, I'm already full of soul. I'm just using that word. But I will be more soul aligned. But I have to be patient as I nurture my soul. And I know my efforts are going to pay off. And you can also live a soul-aligned life. You can live a life where you care for and feed your soul. And I'd suggest that you try that for at least 30 days. Like, begin to do some of the things that I listed. I gave you 20 ways to feed your soul. Begin doing those. Pick one or two that you're going to do for 30 days. I challenge you to pick one or two of those 20 options I gave you, strategies to care for and feed your soul, and try them for 30 days. And then make note of the differences in how you feel and the quality of your life and how you live your life. It's really a quality of life thing. When you care for and feed your soul, when you live a life that feeds your soul has a different quality. It has a soulful quality, a soul-aligned quality. Now, there's another reason to feed your soul, beyond just how you feel and the quality of your life and all those things. Your soul wants to guide you toward a purposeful life. We talk a lot about soul purpose, right? It wants you to make a difference in your unique way and contribute to humanity. Yes, humanity. Now, I'm going to stop there and say, though, that not everyone has a soul's purpose that is huge. My husband will often say, I don't feel like I have a soul purpose. And I'll say, well, you don't think that your purpose maybe was just to provide well for your family or to support me in my more spiritual endeavors or, you know, to raise healthy children, well-balanced children? So your soul's purpose doesn't have to be to, save the oceans or stop school shootings or anything like that. That doesn't mean, though, that you aren't impacting humanity, that you aren't having a difference. With a dynamic body and soul, your energy vibrates at a higher level. Then, like a pebble thrown into a pond, your vibrancy creates energetic ripples that impact all they touch. So you make a difference even without making the effort to do so because of your energy. You contribute to the energy field of all humanity and cause it to move up the vibratory scale and expand exponentially. And that's really the power of living a life that feeds your soul. One person can make a difference simply with a higher level of soul expression and consciousness and vibration. Think of Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Buddha, Jesus, Moses. You can make a difference too. Even if it seems like it's only in a small way, and you can do that by living a life that is filled with soul care, soul alignment. You could call this self-care, if you will. In fact, if we consistently cared for and fed our souls, we would co-create a different world and a different life experience for everyone. Each one of us would positively impact the oversoul of humanity. And that's an admirable mission, is it not? But you have to listen to your soul. So I want to ask you right now to close your eyes. Close your eyes and take 3 deep breaths, in through the nose, out through the mouth. And what I want you to do is count in for 7 counts, hold briefly, and count out for 11 counts. 3 deep breaths like this. In, out, count in, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, hold, out, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Take one more deep breath that way. Now I want you to tap into your soul. I want you to just sense your soul. You may feel it in your heart area or in your throat or third eye, or you might feel it deep in your gut. Just tap into your soul. Notice where you feel the energy of what you would say is your soul. Maybe it's all the way throughout your body. And now ask your soul what it needs. Dear soul, what is it that you need from me now to thrive? What is it you need from me right now so that I can be better aligned with you? What would you like me to do? How would you like me to be so that I could be aligned, soul aligned and operating from a soul level? Ask your soul now and listen carefully. Hear what your soul is asking for. Okay, if you have pen and paper, write it down or commit it to memory. Whatever your soul has told you, it's possible to create a life that feeds your soul. And I challenge you to do so by taking action on what you just heard, what you just felt, what you just saw, or in any of the ways I mentioned. And if you're feeling challenged to take that bold action, it's time to do the personal growth work I mentioned, right? To actually work on yourself so you get out of your own way. Because that's what's necessary. If you didn't hear your soul, it's because your mind is too busy on all the other stuff in your life, all the doing, all the old beliefs and interpretations, and it's time to let those go. And that you do with personal and spiritual growth. And so personal and spiritual growth work, whether it's working with a coach, whether it's, you know, transformational coaching, reading a book, whatever it is you're going to do, any of the things I just asked, you know, the 20 strategies I gave you for feeding your soul, whatever you do, that's going to move you out of the way. It's going to move your thoughts and beliefs, your mindset, your habits that don't serve you, all of that out of the way. It's going to make you more conscious of how you behave as a human being so you can access your spiritual being, okay, and be more aligned with your soul. So if you feel challenged, again, to hear from your soul or to take bold action, to be courageous and do what your soul is asking you to do, it's time to work on you, to do the personal growth work. That's what helped me the most. I cannot stress that enough. I'm honored to have you here with me, and I invite you to come back twice per month and listen and reach out with questions. In June, I hope to open up the lines for questions, because I do my best work when I can interact with you, when I can coach you and talk to you and use my intuition to help you learn how to, in this case, feed your soul. Ultimately, it's to be a creator, to be an inspired creator. Everything I've learned as I worked on myself in coaching programs and by taking courses and reading books, I share with you here. I pull back the curtain, and I'm going to share my life, my experiences, including failures and struggles and successes, so that you can find your own way to transformation. I always say I see myself as an every woman, like an every man, right? And what's worked for me, I hope, will at least provide you with a jumping off place to find what works for you. But remember that you can only experience lasting change when you can address the entirety of who you are. Personal, your spiritual being having a physical human experience. And you probably already realize this, but something is missing from most personal growth books, courses, and programs that claim to create transformation. Maybe you invested in a few and felt frustrated when you didn't change and neither did your circumstances. Or possibly you had a brief period where you and your life seemed different, but then everything went back to the way it was before. Don't feel bad about yourself or believe you've failed because your efforts to change haven't resulted in transformation. I've been there, done that, felt that, but don't. You haven't failed. If something wasn't missing from the personal growth tools you've tried, it's highly likely you would have experienced lasting change. And the same goes for me. And that's what transformation is. It's lasting change. Change is the process required to achieve transformation. So if you agree that something was missing from those other personal growth tools, I'm going to tell you what they lacked. A spiritual growth component. Remember I told you I had that aha moment in my story, right, about not feeding my soul. I had that aha moment when I realized that as spiritual beings having a human physical experience, we needed to be focused on both personal and spiritual growth, right? Most programs lack that. They lack both. But as a lifelong learner and seeker, you already know that this is true. You need personal and spiritual growth. And you probably realize that creating transformation requires growing both spiritually and personally or physically. So to create transformation, you need a strategy that addresses both your physical and spiritual nature. That's when quick and lasting change occurs, which is why I provide both in my Inspired Creator community, both personal and spiritual growth. The Inspired Creator Community offers live coaching 3 times per month with me, not some other coach, as well as recorded trainings to help you step into your power as an inspired creator and create a life that feeds your soul. So to find out more about the Inspired Creator Community, I encourage you to go to ninaamir.com/join ICC, like Inspired Creator Community, ICC. ninaamir.com/join ICC. Right now in the Inspired Creative Community, members are learning to live a life that feeds their souls by activating their human drives. And I'm going to talk about that more in the future, but that is a way that you're, as I mentioned, that is a way that your soul is speaking to you through the human drives. That's the soul saying, this is what I need to thrive. This is what you need as a human being to thrive. So check out the Inspired Creator Community. Again, I offer both personal and spiritual growth there. I'm a certified high-performance coach, so I offer certified high-performance coaching twice a month, but with a spiritual aspect. And I offer transformational coaching once a month. I call it Inspired Results Coaching. Your results are your creations. So if you're not creating what you want, if you're not getting the results you want, it's time to get out of your own way, right? In the meantime, if you need support creating a life that feeds your soul or becoming an inspired creator, getting out of your own way, why don't you contact me for a free 15-minute session, okay? I can talk to you about working with me one-on-one or about the Inspired Creator Community. But if you feel that you have questions and you're not sure which way to go, you can have this strategy session with me or whatever you want to call it. It's a free 15-minute session, and you can do that at ninaamir.com/15, the number 15, free. ninaamir.com/15free. So I encourage you to, and I invite you to get on the phone with me one-on-one or a Zoom call, and let's talk about your needs. But the best place to do the work is in the Inspired Creative Community, where you're going to address all of who you are, personal, you know, a spiritual being having a human experience. We're going to address both the spiritual side and the human side in the Inspired Creator Community. So consider going to ninaamir.com/join ICC and checking it out and becoming a member today. So that's it for today. I am so pleased and honored that you were here today and listened to this episode of the Inspired Inspiration to Creation. And it is my honor to serve you. And I hope that after today, you are inspired to create a life that feeds your soul. Talk to you next time.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.